This is a CBC podcast.
Hi there, I'm Gian Gomeshi, inviting you to enter the world of arts, cultural affairs, and entertainment with Q's video podcast. Feature interviews with the people and personalities shaping, captivating, and challenging culture. Delivered to your mobile device 3 times a week, visit cbc.ca/Q to subscribe to the Q video podcast and watch what we're doing.
It's Monday, June 4th. Swiss researchers say they have made paralyzed rats walk again. Currently, the breakthrough gives new hope to disabled lab rats everywhere. This is The Current Podcast.
Hello, I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. You're listening to The Current.
Is that too much grief for the porcelain? We're just going to do a little at a time, eh? That's a lot, eh?
Yeah.
I support the most, eh?
We're relying on you guys to show us how it's done, huh?
The sounds of a fish fry on Friday at the First Nations community of Grassy Narrows, northeast of Kenora, Ontario. 50 years ago, the reserve and the neighboring community of White Dog were exposed to a prolonged and severe mercury contamination. Now residents are welcoming a new report by a Japanese medical researcher into the long-term effects of that exposure. The doctor, Masazumi Harada, is considered a pioneer on Minamata disease, the severe form of mercury poisoning first discovered in Japan more than 50 years ago. David Carpenter is a former dean of the School of Public Health at the University of Albany and a researcher into the health effects of environmental contaminants. He told us how rare and frightening Minamata can be.
Minamata disease is a very dangerous disease. It's named after Minamata Bay in Kyushu in Japan. And what happened there was that methylmercury was released by a chemical plant into the bay. Methylmercury concentrates in fish, and therefore the major route of exposure is eating fish from contaminated waters. The biggest problem was with babies born to mothers that had been contaminated, although there were a number of diseases in the adults as well. The adults ended up with a whole series of symptoms. They lost a lot of sensation, both sensation in their arms and legs. They had reduced hearing. They had reduced vision. They couldn't walk straight. They tended to fall. They became forgetful. They couldn't speak well. They had tremors. And a whole series of symptoms that were, in some cases, fatal. It's not well understood, and it rarely is diagnosed. As a matter of fact, to my knowledge, there have only been two situations where it has been unofficially diagnosed. One is the continuing episode in Ontario with the Grassy Narrows contamination there.
Well, the residents of Grassy Narrows and White Dog relied on fishing for much of their diet and their economy. But in 1962, the Ontario government granted permission to a company called Dryden Chemicals to dump mercury into the Wabagon English River system that supported the native fishery. About 10 tons of mercury was dumped before the province ordered the company to stop in 1970. But the damage to the fishery, the way of life, and health of Grassy Narrows was done. In 1986, the communities agreed to a settlement and compensation package with the company and the federal and provincial governments. Last week, the CBC's Jody Porter spoke to Shun Kiwatin, an Ojibwa fisherman in Grassy Narrows, who remembers the impact mercury contamination had on the community.
Seemed like when they said that we couldn't fish anymore and we were to stop eating fish, that broke the spirit of a lot of people. I was just a boy running around, but I understood that there was some kind of pollution happening. They told the people they couldn't set nets anymore and sell their fish. That's when I noticed a lot of people turned to alcohol. Before that, I used to see people going out in their boats and actually camping out on the river. And 40 years later, they've returned some of the fishing. They're allowing us to set nets for whitefish. You're told that if you catch walleyes or northerns or any other fish in your net, you're supposed to take your fish in the bush and dispose of them. No, I don't worry about eating the fish. I've been eating it all my life, you know, like it's there. It's so easy to get, you know, it's delicious.
Well, the Japanese researcher Masazumi Harada thinks Minamata disease caused by eating contaminated fish is widespread among the people of Grassy Narrows. He has been studying them for four decades. In his report, which is officially being released today, he finds the effects of mercury poisoning are far-reaching and that mercury contamination in the watershed is persistent. Dr. Harada's colleague, Masanori Hanada, was in Grassy Narrows last week to discuss those findings.
I would tell them that they have the Minamata disease. They must acknowledge this pollution. It is their work, their mission to restore their way of life and to live with this contamination of mercury poisoning.
David Sohn is the forest campaigner with the environmental group Earthroots, which is helping to coordinate the release of Dr. Harada's report. And David Sohn is in our Toronto studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
What are the main findings of this new report from Dr. Harada and his team?
Most fundamentally, the report shows that after 35 years of studying, there can now be no doubt that the disturbing health impacts that people in Grassy Narrows are experiencing are the result of full-blown mercury poisoning, and that if these people were being diagnosed in Japan under Japanese standards, a full 59% of the people that Dr. Harada examined in 2010 would be diagnosed as being impacted by mercury poisoning.
And so how widespread are we talking then amongst these communities?
Well, that would be a large majority of the people that were tested are showing signs of mercury poisoning. And that includes a large number of people who were born long after the dumping of the mercury was banned.
And how does that build on the previous research done by Dr. Harada on Grassy Narrows and White Dog?
Well, this report caps off 35 years of continuous study of this community, so it provides us the most up-to-date and most authoritative picture of what's happening there. And it shows that the problem there not only is continuing and certain, but that it's also affecting a new generation of people in Grassy Narrows.
So how persistent does mercury seem to be in the rivers and lakes in the area and in the fish?
Well, it's been 50 years since the dumping started, and now 40 years since the dumping stopped. And yet, only a few years ago, a Grassy Narrows fisherman was convicted when he tried to sell his fish to a processing plant in Kenora, convicted of selling fish that was unfit for human consumption. And so 50 years later, the fish is still dangerous to eat, and generations born long after the problem was supposed to be dealt with, are showing these disturbing neurological symptoms again.
So where's the mercury coming from now? Is it just still there, or is it coming from somewhere else?
Well, it's important to understand this report in the context of other research, which is showing us that clear-cut logging in the boreal forest around Grassy Narrows increases the level of mercury in the lakes and the rivers, and that mercury also ends up in the fish. So that research suggests that the mercury problem in Grassy Narrows may have been prolonged and exacerbated by the clear-cut logging that the province of Ontario introduced into their territory not long after the mercury problem became apparent.
Now, how come this work is being done by Japanese researchers, not Canadian?
Well, the government here has essentially dropped the ball on the issue. In the 90s, they concluded that it was no longer a problem. And they're not in any systematic way monitoring the health impacts of mercury on the people of Grassy Narrows. And so we have to rely on independent experts from Japan to fly in at their own expense and to provide us with these kinds of updates on exactly what the impacts are.
David Sohn, I'd like you to stand by for a moment. We have someone else who is waiting to get into this conversation. Judy De Silva is a community organizer and the mother of five children in Grassy Narrows. She is also with us in our Toronto studio. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
Talk to me a little bit about how mercury has affected your own health over the years.
My own health? When I was first applying for the mercury disability compensation, I wasn't approved through the doctor that did the testing in Winnipeg. That's through the Mercury Disability Board. And I appealed it, and I got tested again. And this time they gave me the $250 a month that I get paid for having mercury. And so they say I do have symptoms of mercury, but it wouldn't be as severe as the people that I've seen in Japan. But when I did appeal again to get a higher amount, because I had I got so dizzy that I fell down twice in my house. So there's just different symptoms that I see on myself.
I know you came in, you walk with a cane.
Yeah.
How long have you had to walk with a cane?
Since I was a baby. I didn't have a cane as a baby. But I mean, as a teenager, I started using the cane. But as a child, I always, I had to have surgeries and all that. Like, that's a different history that I don't really want to focus on. But I've had to use this most of my life. But I did want to say something about what David was saying.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying about the clear cut causing the mercury to go into the water. Because you were asking, well, how does the mercury get in? They stopped dumping in the 70s. We did a study. We actually did four studies, Dr. Leanne Simpson and Trish Sellers. And we did contaminant studies because in 1997, Health Canada came to Grassy, and they told us that there's no more mercury in the water. And there's just three of us sitting there, Roberta Kizik, myself, and a nurse, Jennifer Roberts. And they said, there's no more mercury in the water. And then the nurse asked him, well, how come in your fishing guides it says to eat only a certain size of fillet? So that was kind of an alarm in my head. And then I approached Leanne Simpson, Dr. Leanne Simpson, to help me find out if there's contaminants, because little babies were having seizures, which was in the 90s. And also a baby was born with cancer in the brain. And I see these children with language development delays, where they had a hard time to speak, but it seemed like they're all there, but they just couldn't talk.
And is that symptomatic of Minamata disease?
Yeah, when you look at Dr. Harada's list of symptoms, it's bigger than the ones that the Mercury Disability Board gives. They only give 6 symptoms, and Dr. Harada has a whole range of symptoms.
So there's two issues here. One is compensation,
mm-hmm.
For the people who have this, but the other seems to be the mixed messages. You have more concrete information coming from Dr. Harada, the Japanese researcher, medical researcher, than you do from the people in government. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and the Mercury Disability Board. And I was going to say that with the studies that we did, the four studies, Trish Sellers came into the picture. And her specialty is sediment sampling. And she found that the mercury had stayed on the top of the sediment instead of getting buried over 30 or 40 years. And she was very curious about that. Why was the mercury still on top? And that's why we're still getting exposure. It's because the English Wabagoon River system is a fast-flowing river. And she thinks that's why the mercury wasn't getting buried. Plus the clear cuts that are all around, all that mercury flows into the river.
David Sohn, Health Canada has looked at the situation at Grassy Narrows. It turned us down for an interview today. Can you tell us what Health Canada's stance is when it comes to the extent of mercury poisoning at Grassy Narrows and how much people there continue to be at risk?
Yeah, their position is that essentially 0% of the people in Grassy Narrows are still at risk of mercury poisoning. And they reached that conclusion by taking hair samples and looking at the mercury levels in their hair. But what they don't do in any systematic way is what Dr. Harada has done, which is actually look at the health symptoms and the neurological symptoms that the people are exhibiting, because Minamata disease is and mercury poisoning is a degenerative neurological condition, and it's your cumulative lifetime ingestion of mercury that will determine the symptoms. So once it does its damage, that damage is never never repaired. And it continues to get worse over the course of a lifetime.
Now, Health Canada sent us an email telling us about the First Nations Food, Nutrition, and Environment Study, which is entering its second year of research in Ontario, looking at things like diet and exposure to environmental contaminants, including sampling for mercury. Grassy Narrows is part of that study. Judy De Silva, do you think it's a good step?
Who's doing the study?
Health Canada.
Health Canada? It sounds like a good step, but I'd like to see that and see what it says.
So clearly, you're not that involved, even though you're a community worker. They say they're doing it now.
I'm not.
You've got a jar with you. What's in there?
Oh, that's the water from Grassy Narrows.
Uh-huh. And yeah. Why did you bring it in?
To remind me of why I'm here. And it's because water is everything, for us, for human beings, and it gives us life. So I thought I'd bring it so it can give me strength.
We heard that clip of that gentleman talking about how he still eats the fish, and we heard the fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
So people are eating the fish. Do you think you should be?
It's the same. When I went to Japan in September, it's a cultural thing. It's not just I'm going to go eat fish today. It's just something we've been doing for thousands of years, and eating walleye is part of that. You can eat white fish, but then to eat walleye is like a fish that tastes so really good. And people do know there's mercury in there, and we still continue to eat it. But then also diets have changed, where my children don't eat fish, but I still do. So, but then when we do have a fish fry, my children will grab a piece or two. But I do know that mercury is, once it's in your body, it just stays there.
Do you
doesn't
want,
leave you.
So you, have you urged them not to eat it? Is that?
I tell them there is mercury in the fish, and we are going to have a fish fry on Wednesday at the Parliament buildings, and it's going to be open to the public, and we're inviting the MPs to come. So I'll be eating fish there again.
Do you think they'll eat it?
I doubt it.
Well, when Dr. Harada's previous report came out in 2010, the Ontario Premier Dalton McGuinty said that because it was such a contrast between Dr. Harada's findings and Health Canada's position, the Ontario government had a heavy responsibility to look into the issue of mercury poisoning in Grassy Narrows. Mr. McGuinty's office, we should note, told us he was unavailable for an interview today. David Stone, have you heard a follow-up? What is the Ontario government doing?
I've spoken to the people at Grassy Narrows. As far as they tell me, there was one meeting after that previous report came out, and since then, no action has been taken to improve the situation. Beyond that, the action that has been taken is that in this past December, Ontario released a new plan that lays out another decade of large-scale industrial clear-cut logging on Grassy Narrows territory, which could further exacerbate the mercury problem there. So there's no indication that Premier McGuinty has lived up yet to that heavy responsibility, but I sincerely hope that he will.
Lots of questions then about compensation and how they continue to use the land.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Judy De Silva. She's a community organizer with the Grassy Narrows First Nation in northwestern Ontario. David Sohn is the forest campaigner with the environmental group Earthroots. They were both with me in our Toronto studio. Now, we did request an interview with Michael Gravel, Ontario's Minister of Natural Resources. He declined our request. As I mentioned, Premier Dalton McGuinty was not available to join us this morning, nor was Ontario's Minister of Aboriginal Affairs, Kathleen Wynne. If you have thoughts on this story or any others you hear on The Current today, go to the website cbc.ca/thecurrent. Click on the Contact Us link. Start typing. Call us toll-free 1-877-287-7366 or find us on Twitter. We're at The Current CBC. When we return, Afghan interpreters provided vital intelligence for the Canadian military in Afghanistan, but critics say too many Afghan interpreters were left behind to fend for themselves, putting in a good word for the translators in our next half hour. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. This is The Current.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.